Welcome to the Finding True Health podcast. Are you ready to reject diet culture without rejecting your health? Do you want to feel a sense of peace around food and your body while also creating habits that will help you feel your best each day? Hey, I'm Jenna, a registered dietitian, a committed follower of Jesus Christ, and a middle-aged mom. Not long ago, I felt like I was at war with my body. I believed I needed to reach some arbitrary goal weight to be healthy and happy. But one day, God helped me realize that I was focused on the wrong thing. So I began to treat my body with the love and respect it deserves through both my thoughts and my actions. And that new focus has made all of the difference. Now I love helping other women find true health for themselves so they can enjoy more energy, better moods, and greater peace in their own lives. I'm excited to get started, so let's dive in. Hello and welcome back to the podcast. Thank you for being here. I am excited about this topic. I feel like it's a super important one. I hear from so many women who are just struggling with their self-esteem, and it usually stems from poor body image, but it could really come from any number of factors. And so I'm excited to share some ideas and some methods for how you can improve your self-esteem, your self-confidence, if you are one of these people that could use a little help in this area. I have definitely had my own journey with this topic. When I was a kid, I loved being the center of attention. I would always put on plays and skits with my sisters and my cousins, and we'd make up songs and pretend to be cheerleaders. My mom even made me and my little sisters these little cheerleader outfits. We would make up these cheers and show them to whoever would watch and listen to them. And I just loved having people watching me. And as I grew and started getting some messages about my body, I started feeling that my body was something to be ashamed of because of my bigger size. My confidence definitely took a downturn. And by middle school, I could still be goofy around my friends or people who I felt really safe around. But in school or anywhere in public, I tried to be as small as possible, both with my body and with how I acted. I hated attention. If any attention was drawn to me during a class or something like that, my face would turn bright red and my mind would go completely blank. If the teacher asked me a question or something, I could not think. I didn't want anybody to look at me or pay any attention to me ever. And I'm sure it's definitely not unusual for kids in middle school to lack confidence. That is such a hard age for a number of reasons. And even if you didn't have body image issues, I'm sure there was something that you struggled with that maybe knocked a little confidence out of you. But it did seem that my self-esteem seemed to be a bit lower than most people's. And I am confident that my poor body image was the main source of that lack of self-esteem. Anytime I would be rejected in any way, but especially if it was with a boy or during those dating years, then immediately I would blame it on my body. In my head, it was always because of my weight. And even after I got to a more socially acceptable size, that low confidence and poor body image stayed with me for decades, decades longer. And to be honest, it still affects me to this day. But it's definitely something that I've been working on and it has been improving. And I found that there are some specific things we can actually do to help increase our self-confidence and self-esteem. We don't have to just sit back and hope that it increases or try to pretend like we have greater self-esteem when we really don't. First of all, let me go ahead and define what self-esteem is. It's defined as confidence in one's own worth and abilities, or in other words, how we value and perceive ourselves. Now, the truth is that we all lack confidence in some area of our lives. Maybe you aren't confident with cooking or with singing or any number of things. And confidence also kind of comes and goes for everyone. Different periods of our lives, we might be more confident in certain things than others. And at times, everybody struggles with their self-esteem and with wondering if they're worthy enough or good enough. So struggling with self-confidence every now and again is completely normal. It's totally to be expected as part of the human experience. But I believe that when poor body image is the main source of our low confidence or low self-esteem, that really has the ability to affect every other area of our life because we view our bodies as ourselves. And the natural man in us seems to be wired to judge other people based on their physical appearance. So if we aren't comfortable and confident in our body, or if we're feeling judged by others because of our body, that trickles into almost every other area of our lives. It almost affects the filter through which you live your life. Instead of living life through the filter of, oh, I can do that, or yeah, I feel good about myself, or I believe in myself, or a lens like that, you might be living your life through the lens of, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I never do anything right. And so, of course, you're going to interpret your own actions and things that happen in your life in a much different way, depending on which lens you're looking at yourself through. Remember, self-esteem is not something outside of you that you need to go find or go catch. We all have self-esteem. It's just, what does that look like for you? How strong is that self-esteem? And again, how do you view yourself and your actions? I remember a time not too long ago that I felt like I had to lose weight before I could feel confident in my body. But then I learned that confidence really comes from your thoughts. It is completely internal, and your thoughts can change without your body changing at all. So I can honestly say I'm more confident in and about my body now, even though I'm heavier than I used to be, than I ever was at a smaller size. So how do we do this? How do we gain that self-confidence? I've come up with what I call the ladder of self-confidence. There are 5 rungs or steps on this ladder, and working on each one kind of in a sequence is going to help you build and get to the next step so that you can make your way to the top of this self-esteem ladder. Remember, building self-confidence is not something that's going to happen overnight. There are no tricks or hacks to getting more self-confidence. It's going to take some effort, but it's also completely doable. So the first step on this ladder is to acknowledge and accept your faults. Now, this might seem counterintuitive because a lot of times we feel like we should focus on our strengths in order to get more self-confidence. And that's certainly part of it, and we'll talk more about focusing on strengths in a minute. But it does not work to try to just brush our faults under the rug and pretend like we're perfect. In fact, low self-esteem is often a byproduct of perfectionistic thinking. For example, when it comes to our bodies, if we expect our bodies to look and to perform perfectly or in a certain way, whatever we perceive a perfect body to look and perform like, then our self-esteem is going to tank when we don't measure up to that ideal. And that goes for anything else in life. If we expect ourselves to be perfect in any area, then of course we're going to struggle when we don't measure up. We have to become self-aware. We've got to see ourselves fully in order to gain self-confidence. Remember, this requires us to be curious, to be non-judgmental as we look for our weaknesses, but recognizing and accepting all of our characteristics really is the first step. It can be super powerful to say something to ourselves like, yeah, I'm not really good in this area, or yeah, I really have this weakness or this flaw, but I love me anyway. When we can really see our weaknesses and not make it mean that we're a terrible person or it makes us any less worthy of love or affects our value in any way, then that can be really empowering. I watched an episode of the classic show I Love Lucy recently with my 12-year-old daughter. It's funny, she and my teenage son love that show. And I think it's still a delightful show, even though it's 70 years old. But there are a few problematic parts in some episodes that I have to point out every once in a while. There's definitely some weight bias. There are some feminist issues, some just ideas and things that we've kind of moved beyond, thankfully. But overall, I still think it's a great show. But in this particular episode, Lucy is suffering from low self-esteem, or as they call it in the episode, an inferiority complex, because Ricky and Fred and Ethel have criticized her for something. And as she starts to get more and more down on herself, then Fred and Ethel and Ricky feel bad for what they've done, and so they try to find ways to help increase her self-esteem by kind of trying to take back what they said that upset her. And when that doesn't work, then they have a friend of Ricky's come over, and he compliments her excessively and acts really attracted to her, and eventually she finds out that it was all a setup, and that makes her even more upset. And so then Fred and Ethel and Ricky try to overcompensate for the things that they originally had made fun of her for. So originally they had made fun of her joke telling, and they had told her she was a bad bridge player, and they told her she was a bad singer. And so then they turn around and try to convince her that she's actually a really great joke teller and a fantastic bridge player and a wonderful singer, even though those things aren't true. And so I just kind of sat and smiled throughout this episode because it really highlights what we often try to do when we're struggling with self-esteem. We try to convince ourselves, or maybe other people try to convince us, that we have no flaws, that we're really good at things that we actually aren't good at. Maybe we try to convince ourselves that our bodies are flawless, they're perfect, there's nothing we would want to change about them. But this doesn't work because it feels like we're lying to ourselves, because we kind of are lying to ourselves. The real power comes when we admit that we are great in some ways and we are not so great in other ways. Embracing all of us, the good, the bad, and the ugly, is how we find self-esteem. So once you've acknowledged and accepted your weaknesses, then you're ready for the next step or the next rung of the ladder, which is to spend a majority of your time focusing on your strengths. Of course, there are going to be times when we're going to want to focus on our weaknesses and try to improve them, and we'll always need to acknowledge and accept them when they come up. But many of us get stuck there, and that's all we do. And we really fail to see the many, many gifts and strengths that we do have. Now, oftentimes, focusing on our strengths can actually be more uncomfortable for a lot of us, especially us women, than acknowledging our weaknesses. But when we focus so much on our weaknesses, then we're really distorting reality. We aren't looking at the whole picture, which is that, yes, we have some weaknesses, but we actually have a lot of strengths and a lot of things that we do well every day that we are either completely overlooking or undervaluing or undermining in some way. And this distortion of reality can send us in this spiral of self-doubt. So as part of trying to accept and focus on our strengths, one effective way to do this is to try harder to accept and internalize compliments. Perhaps it's our attempt to be humble, but if you're anything like me, then I often automatically brush off or even fully reject compliments when they're given to me. Maybe not externally, but a lot of times in my head. Somewhere down the road, I got the idea that in order to be humble, I shouldn't accept compliments and I should downplay my strengths. But being humble does not mean that we never think highly of ourselves. It simply means that we recognize where those gifts and those strengths come from, which is God. And we know that those good things about us do not make us inherently better than anybody else. We're not putting ourselves higher than anybody else. So when somebody pays you a compliment, then there's nothing wrong with just saying, "Thank you, that really means a lot to me." And taking a minute to really internalize that compliment and believe it. My husband, one of the nicknames my husband has given me is Hottie. He's always good to compliment me and let me know that he's attracted to me no matter how I'm looking. And one day I remember he walked by me as I was working at the kitchen counter and he said, "Hey, Hottie," as he passed by. And then he stopped and he looked me in the eye and he said, "You know I mean that, right?" And I kind of looked up at him and I was like, "Huh? What are you talking about?" I was probably still halfway absorbed in my work. And he said again, "You know I mean it when I say that, that you really are a hottie." And it was really sweet and it kind of took me off guard. And I realized that I rarely, if ever, allow myself to really accept the compliments my husband gives me about my appearance and often about other things as well. And the thing is, I don't really believe that I'm, quote, hot according to the world's standards of beauty. But I do think that my husband chooses to think of me as beautiful anyways. And I'm grateful to him for that. I know that a lot of people struggle with husbands who are really critical of their appearance. And that breaks my heart and makes me, frankly, pretty angry when I hear of stories like that. But I also realized in that moment that I could do a much better job at trying to internalize compliments that my husband and other people give me. Maybe you've been on the other end where you've tried to pay someone a sincere compliment and they've just kind of brushed it off or ignored it or even argued with it. And it can be a little bit frustrating. So even though it might be hard to truly hear and embrace and accept a compliment that you've been given, I encourage you to try to do just that and to appreciate the little boost of self-esteem that that compliment could give. However, I also want to point out that we do not have to wait for other people to compliment us in order to build our self-esteem and to recognize our strengths. I think that we could do a lot better job at complimenting ourselves more often. Again, we're often super good at criticizing ourselves, but we are horrible at complimenting ourselves. One morning, I noticed my 5-year-old daughter, Elaine, looking in my full-length mirror in my bathroom, and she was just standing there smiling at herself. And I went up and I gave her a hug from behind, and I looked into the mirror at her reflection, and I asked her, "So what are you thinking about right now?" And she said, "I'm thinking I'm cute." And Elaine gets told that she's cute all the time. She is a cute little 5-year-old. And part of me was really glad that she believed those compliments and that she'd internalized that and that's how she saw herself. But I have to admit that another part of me was a little bit worried that maybe she'd become self-absorbed or, I don't know, even that those kinds of comments might be driving her to care a lot about how she looks. So I said something to the effect of, "Yes, you are very cute, but what else are you?" She kind of looked at me with a puzzled look, and so I said, "I love that you're also smart and kind, and you're a good helper, and you're a hard worker, and a good friend." And I said, "Did you know that those things are a lot more important than being cute?" And her eyes got really big and bright, and she said, "Oh yeah, I remember this time that I helped." I think it was one of her siblings with something, and she got really excited by the memory. And then she gave me a really big hug and ran off without even glancing back at the mirror. And so I think we could be more like a 5-year-old in that way, in being more free to compliment ourselves. And there again, she was more than willing to take the compliments I gave her as well. If this is an area you struggle in, like I do, I recently heard of something I thought was a really great idea called the self-esteem jar. So you get a jar and you get some little slips of paper and you can make the jar cute and the paper colored if you want, but it can just be a simple jar and some scratch paper. That works too. But basically you put the jar somewhere that is easily accessible and can be clearly seen. And throughout the day, you write down your accomplishments on the pieces of paper and put them into the jar. If you don't want to do a jar, you could just write them in a notebook as well, but I kind of think the jar idea is a little more fun. And these don't have to be big accomplishments. You can write down seemingly small, insignificant things. You just want to make sure that they are specific. So some of the examples they gave when I saw this exercise was you could write down, "I woke up on time," or "I finished a certain project," or "I exercised for 10 minutes. I helped so-and-so with their homework. I made dinner for my family. I got my kids off to school on time. I cleaned the kitchen. I ate fruit at lunch." It could even be, "I tried to get a workout in today." Maybe you didn't even get that workout in, but at least you did your best to try. We do so many great things throughout the day that we just brush off and don't even think about because it's just part of life. It's just what we do every day. But when we really stop to think about how many good and positive things that we really are doing, that can really help build our self-esteem. And then once you have a number of these slips of paper in the jar, then every night before bed and every morning when you wake up, you can pull out one of these pieces of paper and read it and be reminded of all the great things you do every day. You can kind of think of self-esteem like a gas tank. And if your tank is really empty, then you need a way to fill it up. And I think that this self-esteem jar can be a great way to fill up that tank and to, again, remind ourselves of everything we're doing right and all of the good things we do every day. All right, the next rung on the ladder is to practice self-acceptance. And this just means to work on accepting each quality that you've discovered about yourself. For some people, accepting the weaknesses are going to be harder. And for others, accepting your strengths are going to be harder. But again, when we can just accept all of us, the whole picture, the part that's great and the part that's a mess, the fact that we're doing really well in some areas of our life and not so great in other areas, that's where true confidence comes from. Going along with this is one of those easier said than done pieces of advice that we hear a lot, but that is so true, is that we need to stop comparing ourselves with others. And this goes for both our strengths and our weaknesses. When we compare our strengths to other people's weaknesses, then that's when we can run into problems with having pride and putting ourselves above other people. And when we compare our weaknesses to other people's strengths, then that puts us in a state below other people and feeling like we aren't good enough, we don't measure up. So once we've practiced self-acceptance, then we can move on to the next rung of the ladder, which is to practice self-love and compassion. Be nice to yourself. Stop being so hard on yourself. When you do mess up or make mistakes or notice things that you don't like about yourself, then try to show the same compassion to yourself as you would to a child or a good friend. This is something that I have struggled with and have tried to do better with, is to stop negative self-talk in its tracks. Stop allowing yourself to constantly criticize yourself throughout the day. When my kids start saying something mean to each other, I stop them. I tell them that's not nice. You know, the classic thumper line from Bambi, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. We could use that advice on ourselves. There's a difference between recognizing our weaknesses with curiosity and compassion and just bashing and criticizing ourselves for our weaknesses. And it really is as simple as that. Once you catch yourself being mean to yourself, then just say, nope, we don't do that. That's not how we talk to each other. That's not how we talk to ourselves. Part of having self-compassion is acknowledging that you are doing your best with what you have. I've also noticed that people with high self-esteem seem to be really good at not taking themselves or life too seriously. They're really good at laughing at their mistakes and laughing at themselves when they mess up and not letting those imperfections drag them down or feel super heavy. Another part of self-love and self-compassion is taking time to take care of yourself, take care of your body. Make sure you're being fed and nourished throughout the day. Make sure you're getting some physical activity. You're taking time to groom yourself, and it can even mean wearing clothes that you like and feel good in. Another part of self-love is keeping commitments to yourself and keeping promises that you've made yourself. I've heard it said that self-esteem is the reputation you acquire with yourself. There's a gentleman named Nathaniel Brandon. He's a self-esteem expert. And he says, and I quote, "It's the new reputation I've acquired with myself that allows me to develop a healthier self-esteem. By consistently setting daily goals and achieving most of them, I've learned to trust myself and, as a result, built more self-confidence." So it's important to be careful about the promises that you make to yourself. Try to only make ones that you're sure you can keep. Imagine if you had a friend that promised to meet you somewhere at 5 o'clock next Monday, and she never showed up. And then the same thing happened the following week. You would probably struggle to have trust and confidence in that friend. So in order to build more trust and confidence with ourselves, we need to prove to ourselves that we can be trustworthy. So it's important to start small. Start with tasks maybe that you're already confident you can complete, and then slowly build on that. You can start stretching yourself just a little bit outside of your comfort zone and treat the commitments to yourself like you would as if you made a commitment to another person. Again, we're not going for perfection here, but if you can just keep most of the commitments that you make to yourself, then that's really going to help you develop a more loving and trustworthy relationship with yourself. That's why when I hear somebody say, "I'm giving up sugar and I'm never going to eat sugar again for the rest of my life," I wonder, is that really a promise that you can keep to yourselves? Is that a promise you want to make to yourself? Or might that be something that damages your reputation with yourself and your ability to keep promises to yourself? And that leads us to the fifth and final rung on our ladder, which is to remain empowered and understand that you can always change and improve. You have agency and control of your life. Sure, there are some things that you can't control, but there are more than enough things that you can control that you can keep your focus on. Healthy self-esteem comes from believing in your ability to grow and to make progress. We are not static beings. We are constantly learning and growing and changing and evolving and improving in many ways. Sure, sometimes it might feel like you're taking two steps forward and then one step back, or other times it might feel like you're taking one step forward and five steps backwards. But I kind of like to think of it like a graph of the stock market. There's constant ups and downs, peaks and valleys. But over time, the overall trajectory of the chart goes up and up. That's why it can be helpful to take a look back every once in a while and see how far you have come in certain areas. I'll bet you're a much better typer than you were when you were 10 years old. If you're a seasoned mother, you probably have a lot more patience now than you did when you were a younger mom. Change often comes so slowly that we don't even recognize it. But when we look back to 5, 10, 15 years ago, we can often see that change a little bit more clearly. And we can acknowledge that progress and use that as evidence that we can change in other areas of our life as well. Learning and growing and improving can actually be a lot of fun if we let it. If we try to enjoy the process of never-ending growth and we don't get discouraged by the fact that there will always be areas to improve. We can think of it as a fun, exciting challenge and a new adventure to tackle every time we want to improve something in our life. Self-esteem experts say that working on personal development, so learning a new skill or a hobby, or maybe improving one that you already have, or creating something new, or learning how to be a better public speaker, or taking a self-defense class, anything like this can help increase your self-esteem because it proves to yourself that you have the ability to grow and to change. So those are the five rungs of the ladder. Once again, the first rung is to acknowledge and accept your faults, and then we're going to spend the majority of our time focusing on our strengths. Third, we need to practice self-acceptance of both our faults and our strengths. Fourth, practice self-love and compassion. And then fifth, remain empowered and remember that we can always change and improve. And one final quick point is that all along the way up the ladder of self-confidence, it can be really helpful if we also focus on gratitude and on service. When we're trying to improve ourselves and our self-esteem, we run the risk of focusing too much of our time and attention on ourselves. And research has shown that two of the best ways to increase your self-esteem is to take the focus off of yourself and to put it onto having gratitude for all that you've been given and to serving others. One thing that has helped me have gratitude for my body is that I like to try to say one thing I'm grateful for it every day. Sometimes I do this while I'm waiting for the shower to warm up in the morning. Other times I do it when I'm writing three things that I was grateful for that day. I try to include something about my body in those three things in my gratitude journal at night. But just find some way to focus on gratitude. And then with serving others, there are so many ways you can become a volunteer or a mentor. I mean, there are literally countless ways to serve others. There's a great website called justserve.org that can help you find volunteer opportunities in your area. So I highly recommend checking that out. I talked about gratitude and service a little more extensively in episode 61, which was, I think it was titled, Are You Ashamed of or Embarrassed by Your Body? So you can go back and listen to that if you want to dive a little deeper into that topic. But I know this episode has already gone longer than most of my episodes. So I want to wrap it up here and just remind you that you are enough. You're enough exactly how you are right now. If you never changed, if you never improved, you would still be 1,000% lovable and worthy. And I want to remind you that in regards to your body, I've said it before and I'll say it again, confidence is not knowing your body looks good. It's knowing your body is good. That's one of my favorite quotes that comes from the book More Than a Body. And if you're somebody that struggles with body image, I truly believe that the more you work on loving and accepting your body exactly as it is right now, the easier it will be to love and accept yourself in other areas of your life as well. If you would like more help in this area, I'm just a few mouse clicks away. Hop on over to jennawaite.com/programs and you can see if we'd be a good fit. All right, my friend, thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you have a great one and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Hey, real quick before you go, if you found this episode helpful, would you do me a huge favor and take just a minute or two to leave me a rating and review? It really helps the show get found by more people, and it just lights me up to know that the show is helping someone out there and that I should continue putting out more episodes. Thank you so much.